The following message is by Pastor John Piper. More information from Desiring God is available at www.desiringgod.org.
They called it Turkey Red along the Lycus riverbed, and strong men pushed their poles against the mud to guide their boats and gather blood-red cloth from Thyatira for the fortune ships along the shore at Smyrna to the south. The dye was rare. And Roman brass would buy 1,000 pounds with polished gold. And even simple men who rolled the stones to crush the madder root for tint could fill a purple boot with profits in a week or two. And clever sellers in a few short years could be as rich as kings. And such was Lydia. The rings she wore were forged in Carthage near the coast of Africa. The sheer silk veil was brought from India and made a gift to Lydia 3 weeks before her husband died. She was a wealthy widow now. Beside the wealth, there was a little child, alert and just a little wild, a daughter 2 years old. Her name was Syntyche, which meant the same as fortune, good success, or chance. The widow never sought romance again. She married purple gold. She sailed to distant ports and sold her cloth to Caesarean lords and gathered jewels and Spanish swords and crystal balls and magic beans and charms and astral figurines and brought them home for Syntyche. 10 years went by. The tapestry of Lydia was known throughout the world, but no one knew about the silent life of Syntyche. She missed her mother terribly and sought her missing love in spells and psychic charms and wishing wells, in magic moods and special teas with evil men and sorcery. When she was 12, she disappeared. At first, her mother mainly feared a ransom note. And then she wept. She wept the tears that she had kept inside for years and years and lay face down alone day after day on Syntyche's small bed. She met no one for business deals and let the boats depart and ate no food until at last she understood what she must do. She rose and took her shawl and found the Kodish brook. She walked across the narrow log and then straight to the synagogue. She found an officer and said, "Perhaps my daughter is alive or dead, but sir, could someone here teach me of God? I've cried to him and he has led me here." And then she told him of her work and how she sold herself to gold and how she lost her fortune, Syntyche. "High cost for cloth," the teacher said. "I know, but is there hope for one as low as I? You do need teaching, ma'am. The gracious God of Abraham gives hope to only such as you. Now listen, here's what you must do. Submit now to the law of God. And it may be that Moses' rod will rise again and point the way to Syntyche. If you today will burn the charms and figurines and crystal balls and magic beans, shall man inquire with pea and pod and not consult the holy God?" So Lydia began to fear the Lord. Then one long empty year went by. She worshipped week by week, but every time she tried to seek the face of God, it was as though a voice would gently say, "I know you, Lydia, but you do not know me." Then once she asked, "Lord, what more may I see? And Lord, where fly to thee?" And God said, "Philippi." Her mouth fell open at the word. Could I, she thought, have really heard the voice of God? And then the doubts were gone. And so was she. The routes to Philippi were common fare for Lydia. Her business there was good. She owned an ample home and often on the way to Rome would stay the night. This time, one thought alone was in her mind. "God brought me here to Philippi to see his face, and that is all I need." The place was well kept by a Jewish maid who secretly for years had prayed that Lydia would know the King of Heaven. Euodia would sing at night, and Lydia had ears. The songs of faith for many years had done more than she knew. Once more she came and, entering the door, knelt down before her maid and pled, "Euodia, one time you said that every Sabbath day you go somewhere to pray. I want to go with you and meet your God. Tomorrow may I go with you? It may be God will show us both our deep desire." At dawn, the river lay like glass, and on the surface was a blazing fire, as though God made a liquid pyre to burn the incense of the prayer that holy women offered there. And as they prayed, a band of men approached and knelt in silence. Then, the one named Paul began to plead that God would satisfy the need of her whose back had felt the rod of his rebuke and wanted God more than 100 laden ships of purple dye. At this, the lips of Lydia fell open wide. "He knows my heart," she thought, "my pride, my shame. This is a prophet sent from God. Oh, let him now present the power of your holy word and show the glory of the Lord." She opened up her eyes, and all the men were fixed on her. Then Paul opened his mouth and said, "The Son of God, the long-expected one, has come. His name is Jesus Christ. He lived in love and sacrificed himself for sin and rose again to live and reign. 500 men can testify that he's alive. And now with all his might, we strive to tell the world that everyone who turns from sin and trusts the Son will be forgiven every wrong and sing an everlasting song. If God did not withhold the King, will he not give us everything?" When Paul had done his human part, the Lord himself opened her heart, and Lydia believed. They stayed the day with her and taught and prayed till well into the night, then slept for free in stately rooms once kept for moneyed merchants and their gold. Next morning, Lydia was bold to ask the men if she could go along to pray. "I think I'd grow if I could watch God's power in you." So Paul agreed. "I think that's true," he said. "I sense that we should take the market path and slowly make our way down to the place of prayer." But halfway through the market square, a slave girl, used for sorcery and owned by wicked men, broke free. And with a rasping voice, she screamed, "These are the holy men I dreamed about. They save your soul. They curse your gold and take away your purse. These are the servants of the Most High God. Beware, beware, you host of hell." They tried to seize the prize and pull her back. Too late. Their eyes had met. The demon child was frozen in the gaze of Lydia. Her chin was locked in speechlessness. A gash was healed across her wrist. A sash of purple cloth held rags around her waist. Her arms and neck were bound with bands of charms and magic beans, and little astral figurines were pierced through both her ears, and Lydia, through burning tears, could see that she was very thin. Her eyes were sunken deep within, her face as dark and fierce as they could be. Her cheeks were hollow clay, and there were bruises everywhere, and tiny razors in her hair. "Oh, Syntyche, what have I done? What can I do? Where can I run to bring you back? Oh, God above!" At that, the demon tried to shove her mother down, but Paul cried, "No! In Jesus' name, be still! Now go! Come out of her, you fiendish power. Mark that from this very hour you shall not torment Syntyche again." The power of sorcery was gone. The girl fell at the feet of Lydia. Her face was sweet. Her eyes were soft. Her voice like dew. "Mommy, can I come home with you?" The light of candle 4 is plain, has its part of peace and pain. A selfish soul can soon destroy a little girl or boy. But Christ can open selfish hearts and nullify demonic arts.
Thank you for listening to this message by John Piper, pastor for preaching at Bethlehem Baptist Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. We invite you to visit Desiring God online at www.desiringgod.org. There you'll find hundreds of sermons, articles, radio broadcasts, and much more, all available to you at no charge. Our online store carries all of Pastor John's books, audio, and video resources. You can also stay up to date on what's new at Desiring God. Again, our website is www.desiringgod.org. Or call us toll-free at 1-888-346-4700. Our mailing address is Desiring God, 2601 East Franklin Avenue, Minneapolis, Minnesota, 55406. Desiring God exists to help you make God your treasure, because God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him.